A twist on networking for Black business professionals. I'm Tom Schein, and welcome to The Range.
Support for The Range comes from McCowan Gordon Construction, Fidelity Bank, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Coming up, a Kansas museum that's gone to the dogs and is okay with that.
The museum is like a storybook. If you look in the history section, you'll see a lot of the history of greyhounds in the area.
But first, a business group was formed a couple of years ago to help connect Black professionals in Wichita, and it's finding success by using an unusual model. When you attend a gathering event, you might be met with some unfamiliar faces. That's actually by design.
So this is my first time, and I only recognize like two people.
That's Charity Davis Lowe. She's a recruiter for a private wealth management company and was attending a recent gathering event at Mark Arts. Before each event, the gathering team curates a guest list of Wichita newcomers and local business professionals. Here's the catch. This will be the only invitation to the networking event that they will receive. If you've been invited once, you won't be invited back for another standard gathering. The idea behind the event is to serve as a kind of welcome mat for Black professionals to the business community. Sean Knotts is the Director of Consumer Banking for Fidelity Bank.
Well, I was actually invited. My CEO told me about the event. He knew that I was new to town, and he said that, you know, it would probably be a great idea for you to meet people across the city.
The event's concept was conceived by Janetta Everett, Daryl Kelly, and John Rolfe in 2020. Everett says they were all working on individual projects that kept overlapping with one another and were worried about exhausting mutual contacts.
And after a while, those same wells were going to be depleted if we don't spread this out a little bit more.
With an idea in place, a team was assembled to organize the events. As of last month, the group has put together seven gatherings. And even with all the constant new faces, Daryl Kelly says it doesn't take long for people to start networking.
When we get to the event and we see the smiles on folks' faces, when we see the connection, when we see the person, that recharges our batteries and gives us the energy to keep going.
Here's how each event works. It starts with a tour of a local business or institution. For example, for last month's event, the group took a tour of Mark Arts and learned about all the services it offers. Afterward, the team explains the idea behind the gathering, and then each person lined up and introduced themselves. Networking and mingling is encouraged throughout the whole event, and there are plenty of spaces eager to host the gathering. Businesses have lined up to book the event all the way into 2024. Katie Dora, CEO of Mark Arts, explained why.
It was refreshing to see 40 professionals that had never been here before, and they got to hear about our programming and how all are welcome here at Mark Arts. And I think we built some new connections and hopefully maybe met a few new board members.
Junetta Everett says seeing people who look like you on a board or in your office can be a powerful experience.
We had one employer. There was one of their employees literally was in tears and saying, "I've never seen this many of us in this building before." And that rung a bell with the employer, and they told me it's really making them now look things differently, even in their hiring.
This story was reported by Hugo Fan. You can read more about the gathering at KMUW.org. In Kansas, we have museums dedicated to any number of topics. The Old West, The Wizard of Oz, even barbed wire. And in Abilene, there's one museum that's all about dogs. For this month's Hidden Kansas, Becky Tanner visits the Greyhound Hall of Fame.
To understand why there's a museum dedicated to greyhounds in Kansas, you have to know the state's long history with those skinny, gangly dogs. Some of the earliest recorded greyhounds in Kansas were associated with George Armstrong Custer. He brought them on his plains campaigns to hunt coyotes, jackrabbits, antelope, and even bison and wolves on the Kansas prairie. In 1886, the first greyhound coursing races were held near Great Bend at Cheyenne Bottoms. By the 1920s, the popularity of the Greyhounds had grown and racing events were held around the nation. And Abilene was well on its way to becoming a national Greyhound destination. At the Greyhound Hall of Fame, there are Ginger and Max, four-legged ambassadors and greeters, as visitors come through the museum's doors.
Well, these two are local. They're from Julie Ward's farm. Now, Julie is second generation. She took over her dad's farm. At one time, there were 28 to 30 Greyhound operations in Dickinson County.
That's Kathy Lounsbury, Office and Museum Director of the Greyhound Hall of Fame in Abilene. It's located across the street from the Eisenhower Library and Museum and has been a tourism draw since it opened in March of 1973.
The museum is like a storybook, and if you look in the history section, you'll see pictures of the first coursing event in Cheyenne Bottoms. You'll see pictures of what looks like a tent city that was in Junction City where they had coursing events. It was pretty popular.
There is a replica of the oldest Greyhound track in America, information about wagering and racing, and then the Hall of Fame of Greyhounds.
This is the story of life on the farm in video. And this starts out with the Greyhound being born. And then it goes on to the race career. And it shows what happens when they're tattooed.
Wait a minute. They get tattoos?
Oh, absolutely. Identification.
The museum is filled with the sounds of a racing world, of dogs running and people cheering.
That's always noisy, bashful guy on the rail. Into the first turn, that's euphoria.
And then there is the sound of a happy, retired dog receiving a treat as he visits with museum visitors.
You want this?
It is the rich reward of a history-making dog's life. For The Range, I'm Becky Tanner.
And one last thing. I've been to a lot of funerals lately, which happens when you reach a certain age. They were all nice services, and folks said gracious things about those who had died. But I've always wondered, why do we wait? Why not tell people how important they've been to us while they're still around to hear it? So I will. When I was a young sports writer, I prayed I would be as good as Rick Plumlee. He covered KU, the Chiefs, and the Royals for the Wichita Eagle, and he was terrific. A good reporter and writer, superb on deadline, unmatched work ethic. Rick didn't tell me how to be a good journalist. He showed me. Later, when I became his boss, he was patient and helpful. He instilled a needed dose of confidence in a young editor. I've had many mentors in my career, but I'll always be grateful for everything Rick Plumlee did for me. Thanks for joining us on The Range. Our producers for this week's show are Carly Cooper, Beth Goulet, Jonathan Huber, and Lou Ann Stevens. Our digital producer is Hugo Fan, and Torrin Anderson composed our theme music. The executive producer of The Range is Fletcher Powell. I'm Tom Schein, and this is KEMUW, NPR for Wichita.